You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users all across sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
For another year, we got a dented Stanley Cup as well. The Bolting Oilers fans are mad, and the world is back to normal. What's going on? Cody Janzen, Katie Caldwell with you. World Hockey Report Live, 12 Ounce Sports. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday morning. Big show lined up for you. Ben Pope starting us off here, Chicago Blackhawks beat reporter for the Sun-Times. And it's Connor Halley, TSN 1260 producer, host of the Other Connor podcast. And then we'll get into some Seattle Kraken talk. Yes, they're going to have a team next week. We will dive into all of that, maybe even some reality TV. We got a lot up on here first. World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Proud supporters of community and competitive hockey in British Columbia and Alberta. Open 7 days a week. Lordco, trusted household name since 1974. Yeah, that's a long time. The best place to shop for aftermarket auto parts, truck accessories, RV supplies, and even camping essentials. 84 stores in BC and Alberta. Everyone, you know what? They're cheering on Canada's team. Maybe next year. That's from Lordco Auto Parts. They're not counting anything out. Visit them today for knowledgeable service quality auto parts. Learn more about their store in-store promotions, the variety of products, brands available, and range of services offered, or visit them at lordco.com. That was a good athlete. That was just off the cuffs.
10 out of 10.
What's going on? How's it happening this morning?
Oh, another day in paradise. I can't believe the season's over. It's fun.
I know. Off season. You know what? It's been a pretty good start. So we might as well bring on our next guest right now. It's Ben Pope, Chicago Blackhawks beat reporter for the Sun-Times. Ben, obviously I'm up here by Edmonton, so you know what I'm going to ask you, but I'm going to kind of swing this one towards Duncan Keith here. Why was he so adamant on leaving Chicago, it felt like, after winning three cups there? And are Blackhawks even excited for Caleb Jones? Like, do they know what they're getting really with him?
Well, for Keith, it seemed like it was really almost entirely about his son. He wasn't able to see him but once in a five-month span this past season because of the border restrictions. His son and the rest of his family's in Penticton, BC. And apparently he thought about it this offseason. He's had a few months to kind of think it over and decided that he wanted to get to Canada somewhere in the western half to be able to see his son more frequently. So certainly understandable. His son's 8 years old now and starting to get more involved in stuff. So I think he wanted to be there for that, especially as his career winds down. But certainly an interesting end to his time here in Chicago after three Stanley Cups, as you mentioned, and playing his whole career here since being drafted in 2002, I think. So and then as far as Caleb Jones, I don't think Hawks fans know too much about him, but they know that he's Seth Jones's brother. So I think that might be the biggest reasons for excitement. But the Hawks have taken some gambles on young players, putting them in bigger roles the past few years to see if they can, grow into that. It's worked for several guys in the forward side. We haven't seen it yet pay off defensively, but they'll probably do the same with Caleb Jones, whether or not they get Seth, and hope that maybe he can grow into something if he gets a little bit more responsibility.
Well, and Ben, you say whether or not they get Seth. I think that's a question on a lot of people's minds. What do you think the likelihood of Seth Jones joining his brother in the Windy City?
Well, I'd say it's probably less than 50% just because there's so many other teams also trying to get him. And there's always a possibility that Columbus holds on to him for one more year. But I think you'd have to put the Hawks as one of the front runners at this point, if not the front runner. They're certainly also going to talk to Dougie Hamilton. I think they probably prefer to go that route since they wouldn't have to give up trade assets if Hamilton, you know, wanted to sign in Chicago as a free agent. But they're certainly going to push pretty hard to get one of those two guys. They know that they need defensive help and they need a first pairing defenseman, especially now that Keith is gone.
Ben, with Keith out of town, it feels like it's a pretty big step in essentially turning the page from their cup winning team. What do you see in the direction of this team, both in the immediate future and in the next couple seasons?
Well, this is a process that's been going on for about a year now. We saw in April 2020, soon after the COVID pause, John McDonough, the president through the whole Cup era, was fired. And then over the past year, we've seen a lot of players who are big parts of those teams move on. Brandon Saad traded to Chicago. Corey Crawford didn't re-sign or wasn't re-signed and then eventually retired. Andrew Shaw and Brent Seabrook retired. Jonathan Toews missed the season, although he may be back next year and now with Keith. So there's really only Kane and like a little bit of Toews left from that time period. So this 2020-2021 has kind of been the moment when the chapter really turned on that Cup era teams, even though they hadn't won a playoff series since 2016 or 2015, I should say. Certainly the youth movement is on. They've been focusing hard on that this past season, and they're going to keep doing that. They built up the prospect system. They have a lot of draft picks the next 2 years. So they clearly sort of have a retooling, rebuilding mindset moving forward.
Now, Ben, you're in Chicago, and clearly we're not here, but with all the allegations, the sexual assault cover-up, what are you hearing from fans around there right now, and just the general public? Are they pissed off? Are they going to stop supporting the team? Are there going to be sponsors that pull out if this, you know, gets ugly?
Yeah, certainly there's a lot of frustration and anger and confusion from fans. It's just hard to know, because most of what I'm seeing is on social media, how representative of the overall fan base that is, because there's a lot of fans that aren't on Twitter that maybe aren't following the off-ice news as much. And once the season starts again, maybe they'll just start cheering again and just sort of push it out of their minds. So it's hard to know if it's going to really affect attendance, if it's going to really affect ticket sales, TV ratings. But certainly from what I hear so far, there are certainly a sizable contingent of the fan base that's very concerned about it. I think we're going to learn a lot more as time goes on. Just as this investigation continues, hopefully they make the results public. They're going to have to make decisions on some of the guys in the front office like Stan Bowman, who were around back then and who have been implicated in the alleged cover-up. So we're going to see the situation evolve a lot, and it'll be interesting to see where it stands when next season starts.
And I just want to throw this out there that Joel Quenneville was asked about it today, and he said that he wasn't aware of it and he's going to participate in whatever legal action needs to be done. But I want to ask you, you brought up Stan Bowman, and I believe he hasn't talked to the media since these allegations came out. I believe I'm correct in saying that. But on the other spectrum, you've got a former player in Brent Sopel who seems to be an open book. So what are your thoughts on those two so far?
Yeah, well, Bowman is the really interesting one here. He's going to have to talk to the media later this month. You're correct, he hasn't so far. It's my understanding that he will next week around the expansion draft and entry draft. He's definitely going to get asked about it. And while I don't expect him to want to comment, it's going to be an interesting subplot to everything this offseason on how they sort of handle that from a PR perspective. We've heard Sopel, I know yesterday, finally speak out about it. A couple other players have alluded to it or made brief public comments. The fact that no one on the current team has said anything is interesting, and we'll see if that changes. I know Jonathan Toews said that he thought that sort of the implication that everyone knew was false, and that he didn't hear any whispers until the 2010-2011 season, the following season. So, yeah, certainly a lot to go on. I'd like to talk to Sopa myself. I plan to give him another call. He did not return my call the first time I tried, but we'll see. But, yeah, certainly a big story to follow as it continues.
Well, and Ben, last question here for me. While we stay in the realm of PR, the Portland Winterhawks and the Deb have officially changed their logo. Do you think this puts any added pressure on the Blackhawks and their very strikingly similar logo?
Yeah, I saw that news about Portland. I'm not sure it's going to change too much. I feel like that news didn't really resonate a lot here in Chicago. The Hawks have made statements before, including last summer, that they're standing by the logo and team name and everything when Washington and Cleveland were announcing their changes. I personally think that in the next 10 years that we could see them sort of force a change that stance, maybe just like put a space in between the Black and Hawks, which is the branding they actually used way back in the 30s and 40s. Yeah, we'll see sort of how that goes. They added in a Native American land acknowledgement to sort of the pregame intro video this season, but there weren't any fans there to see it. And they've committed to increasing their support of Native American communities, which is undoubtedly a good thing, but we'll see if that sort of ends up holding up historically as sufficient to justify this.
Ben, I got one more for you, and it's a hard hitter. What are the Blackhawks thinking about their 2021 SB NHL Player of the Year, Patrick Kane, here?
Well, certainly Kane's still an elite player and the best player on the team, or one of the best players, but I was very surprised to see that. I didn't actually know the ESPYs were going on, and I didn't know that he was nominated for the award. So when that popped up on Twitter, I was a little bit confused. I'm not sure about the accuracy of that, but certainly he's a good player, and I know the Hawks are happy that he hasn't, you know, declined too much yet, even as he enters his 30s.
Ben, you're the best. Thank you so much for making the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben Pope right there, Chicago Blackhawks beat reporter for the Sun-Times, joining us on World Hockey Report. Some interesting answers. I want to ask you, well, do you have anything you want to add on the sexual assault and what we've seen so far with Brent Sopel being very vocal about it? A lot of the players not biting their tongue, but they're certainly not diving into it as much as people may want.
Well, and that's where behind the scenes you have to think there are a bunch of PR people involved kind of directing them and what they can and can't say. And oftentimes in situations, while there's still a lot of information that is unknown, the answer is just to stay silent, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I understand on their end why that's kind of the direction that they would be going. And then who knows, like, I don't know what people know and what people don't. So it's kind of hard to be accusatory and say all these people are just biting their tongue. Like, it's something that I'm obviously going to keep a close watch on as more information comes out, but I think it's important that as media, we continue to talk about it. I think it needs a big spotlight on it because it's really important that it doesn't just get brushed under the rug. But I also understand, like, I think this is something we talked about last week, that without knowing all the information, it's hard to speculate too much. And especially with really delicate and important cases like this, you never want to speculate, but you do have to address it. So yeah, we're kind of in that gray area right now, but yeah, I think, like you talked about Stan Bowman, like I'm interested to see what he's going to say about it. Cause you're right. He can't be silent forever. So yeah, it's something that we all got to keep a close eye on for sure, but it is hard to still speak about it this time.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. There's really nothing else I can add there. Like, I hate making assumptions. I hate speculating. I hope it's public, as Ben said. We hope that this is public. And I also have heard the other side of things of, oh, if it's public, people might not speak out as much. I think that's a risk you have to take. I don't know if that sounds bad, and I apologize if it does, but you know, there's a certain act of this needs to be public because I think people need answers. And I think that if it's private, people might not get held accountable as much as if it is a public hearing or case.
Yeah, and all of that I just can't speak on yet because I don't really know which direction it's going to head in. But yeah, I think just as long as it's not something that we all collectively forget about because we're not getting very much information, I just as long as we keep the conversation going with it because it's just something that's so crucial in sports, especially. It's just look how many times things are just swept under the rug because people can afford good lawyers. I mean, it's important to hold people, organizations accountable.
So holding them accountable here, you brought up a good point with the logo. Portland is changing theirs. And the reasoning that I saw was they don't have the background or history in the naming in the logo that Chicago does. I'm not going to say it was just a copycat move, but Chicago, their excuse, reasoning, whatever you want to call it, is, it was honoring a traditional chief in the area. You know, they're going to do their best to represent them the best possible. They don't want to change it. They don't want to, I don't know, it's not erasing history or anything. But where do you stand on that? I'm curious.
I just think as long as people are doing the right things and not in a performative way, it's just we've seen the NHL and NHL teams be just as performative as possible in this last however many months. So, yeah, I think in the next, like, it was interesting what Ben said about kind of within the next 10 years. Like, it's, like you said, Chicago has a lot more history with it, the NHL versus the WHL. I'm curious to see where it goes because who knows? Like, what if the Winterhawks change their name, if they completely change their look? Because I believe it was just they moved the text, right? For their logo, I believe is what I saw. But even, like, I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to speak on, especially as just a white person, if I'm honest. Like, I don't want to be going to people like me for answers. I'd rather be going to the Indigenous communities that are affected by this. So
100%. And I think a lot of it does come down to the naming of Winterhawks versus Boonhawks. But again, you know, it's not exactly our spot to speak on. I think it is a good discussion to have, though.
Not to speak on, but it is important for us to independently educate ourselves. And it's something that, like, even after our conversation with Ben, I realized, okay, this is something I need to know more about. So, yeah, I think as long as all of us just keep educating ourselves on these things and understanding why people are upset and why there needs to be change.
Totally fair right there. All right, we got some other NHL news to get into. Obviously, Tampa Bay, they are partying. So let's dive into some NHL news. Rock Hockey Sticks, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final or Game 1 of your next Beer League game. We all know you need a twig. You can trust Pro Rock. The hockey stick is that stick. Pro Rock, family-owned Canadian company, changing the hockey stick game. They're lighter, more balanced, and at the best price point when it comes to top-of-the-line sticks. Check them out today, prorock.com, and follow them on social media. We also got a giveaway. It'll be announced later on, the winner of the Pro Rock hockey stick and hoodie. Stay tuned for that. But Tampa Bay, I mean, you know, what do we say about them? They win again. It's in five games. They make it look easy. What a win. Pat Maroon dents the Stanley Cup. I don't even know where to begin. Actually, no, I got one question for you, though. Do you think that what Kucherov said after the game when he chirped Montreal fans and Marc-Andre Fleury was over the line?
Or no.
Do you can give him a pass and say, hey, he's 12 deep and he has an 8 since, you know, 4 o'clock that day?
We've all been there. But here's the thing is all of us are screaming from the rooftops that we want hockey and hockey players to have more personality. And then we get pissed when they do. So I think it's just a battle of like the old boys club. And we're trying to keep it sacred and professional and respectful. It's like, I love the trash talk. I love that. I love that he's chugging Bud Lights with no shirt on up at the presser. Like stuff like that brings so much personality to hockey where it's been so kind of hoity-toity for so long. I live for that. And I'm sorry, if you go back-to-back in a salary cap era, that, and I understand before everybody slinks in my DMs and explains to me that they were $18 million over the cap, I understand that, and I don't truly care. But they went back-to-back, and they're having a good time. They're celebrating, and you're down in Florida having a boat parade. Of course the cup's going to get wrecked. Did you see the Lombardi almost get fired into the water? Oh, yeah. Trophies aren't going to do well at boat parades, but they're going to have a great time.
I think end of the day, it's all about seeing the guys be happy. Also, this is breaking, and this is going to be the worst TV if you're watching online. Portland actually just released their new logo, and so I'm going to hold that up to the screen if anyone can see it, which way that's going.
That's sick.
The ring light's in the way. Yeah, no, it's a pretty dope new logo. I give them credit. And again, I think that they took the time to educate themselves, and you know, they made a choice that they think is best. I don't think it's, you know, exactly my position to tell them if they did the right thing or the wrong thing. But again, I think you got to applaud them for making a bold statement saying, hey, we are going to change our logo. Alrighty, we got to head off to a commercial break here. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you. You guys already know Edmonton. They trade Caleb Jones and a third round pick. It's conditional, whatever, for Duncan Keith. This is a hot, hot topic. And yes, we are going to dive into all of that with Connor Halley when we come back here on World Hockey Report. Oilers diving into the defenseman market. Maybe they're about 10 years too late, though. We'll discuss it with our next guest. It's World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, your one-stop car and truck parts and accessory store. Check them out today, lordco.com. Our next guest, Connor Halley, brought to you by Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. Not looking for a heavy drink on this beautiful summer. The weather's been gorgeous out here. It's plus 30 every single day. Coco Vodka Rum, that hits the spot. Refreshingly different. Coco Vodka Rum, new tall cans and flavors are next in Canada. Enjoy the Coco life with us. High quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, you will not be disappointed. So let's bring them on. It's Connor Halley from TSN 1260 and the host of the Other Connor podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Connor, what's going on? We appreciate you making time. And again, I want to get your thoughts. What was your first thoughts when you heard Keith was officially heading to Edmonton?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today? Thanks for having me on. The first thoughts when it was official was, how is there no salary retained? That was probably the common thought amongst the Oilers fan base, the media, ever since these rumors started about a week and a half ago. That was kind of what we all thought was going to be automatic. You know, if you're going to get a guy like Duncan Keith at this point in his career, you can't be paying him $5.5 million, and that was not the case. So I'd say when we first found out about this deal and how it was going to be playing out, it was shock. I was very surprised by that.
So, Connor, the bad news with Oscar Klefbom and his injury status just seems to keep rolling in. What do you see for his future, not just with the Oilers, but I hate to ask this, but for his hockey career in general?
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, this move, it doesn't make it official. We haven't heard anything quite yet, but I would say it's likely done. I mean, when he spoke about it, it was very candid, talking about how one thing that, you know, down the road, he wants to be able to hold his kids and, you know, have a life outside of hockey where he can enjoy other things. And, you know, we've heard reports coming out that, you know, he can even lift his shoulder, like, straight up. That's how bad it was. And, you know, I think that most of the people here in the city are pretty understanding of that. And I think, you know, hockey fans in general can be a little bit more compassionate and understanding that there's more to life than just the game. He played well in his career. He fought through some injuries. And at the end of the day, something like this, you know, you probably don't want to mess around with. So I would say the future hockey wise, probably a little bleak, maybe not too much optimism there. But that probably shows you why the Oilers went out and made this move, bringing in Duncan Keith.
Oh, it's the no salary retention for me, though, just like you said. Connor, I'm curious to get your prediction of who the Kraken will be stealing away from the Oilers, and if you have any hot expansion draft takes, whether it's someone that's going to be protected or whichever, any Oilers-related takes.
You know what? I think for the Oilers, even with the Duncan Keith trade and him having the no-movement clause, so you have to protect him, I think it's pretty easy for them. Defensively, it's going to be Darnell Nurse, Ethan Bear, and Duncan Keith now. I think between the pipes, you probably look at Stuart Skinner. You're exposing Mikko Koskinen. And if Seattle, for some reason, was willing to take him on, then you're happy. You clear that space. And then up front, to me, it's pretty easy. You got McDavid, Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Yamamoto. I think Jesper Järvi, obviously, Josh Archibald. And then, to me, the only real debate is whether you're going to protect Zach Cassian or maybe a guy who's kind of an up-and-comer in Tyler Benson, who's currently playing with the Bakersfield Condors. As of late, they've had a really great track record of developing these prospects, and when they make it into the NHL, there's almost a seamless transition. So, to me, I would protect Benson, leaving Zach Cassian up for grabs. If Seattle takes him, you clear a bunch of salary cap space. And for me, Zach Cassian, you know, when he's on, he can be an effective player, but there's just too many times where he goes kind of invisible out there. So, to me, it's pretty simple for the Edmonton Oilers, even with bringing in a guy like Duncan Keith where you have to protect him, not a whole lot changes. And, you know, even going back to that trade, I kind of had Caleb Jones as the guy that Seattle might take. So to me, he was pretty much already off this roster. So yeah, it's pretty easy for the Edmonton Oilers. They get kind of lucky where, you know, in the NHL, we've had a couple expansion drafts the last few years. With Vegas, it was Griffin Reinhardt who now playing in Germany, I believe. And this year, you know, you could either lose a prospect who hasn't proven anything or a guy who is very inconsistent and would be actually kind of doing you a favor, clearing off a lot of salary.
There was so many hot takes in that, Connor. I don't know where to start. I feel like the Jones to Seattle would fully make sense because they want his brother there. They both they played in Portland. Like it just made too much for them to try go to Seattle or Seattle to try for them. And then for Zach Cassian, I feel like he's their, you know, the biggest playoff style player on the Oilers. Yeah, he goes invisible, but come playoff time, those are kind of the type of gritty guys I feel that you still win with. And Montreal showed a little bit of that. Although, yeah, Cassian does need to kind of get his ass in gear once in a while a little bit more. Hey, I don't want to be too critical on the Oilers right now, but do you have faith in Ken Holland to build a cup contender here? Because with where they're sitting, this team isn't that much different than last year. And I don't know what they're going to do to really shake that up.
My faith level, yeah, I wouldn't say it's growing by any means. Like this trade right here, Duncan Keith, second pairing defenseman at best. There was times last year where, you know, he kind of looked like a shell of his old self. Now I've got a chance, and I know you guys talked to Ben Pope today. I've had him on my podcast, and Charlie Roumeliotis from NBC Sports. And one of the things that they kept telling me was that, you know, when his play declined, he was playing with, you know, questionable NHL defenseman. So if he is to go to the, well, when he comes to the Edmonton Oilers, and if they are able to pair him with, say, an Adam Larson, and we've heard those negotiations are going back and forth, maybe he has a bit of a bounce back season. Now, if Adam Larson isn't there, then you put him with potentially Evan Bouchard. Maybe he looks exactly like he did last year in Chicago. But I would say my faith in Ken Holland, it's not skyrocketing. I mean, you have two of the top 5-10 players in the NHL, and you get swept in the first round and you don't make too many changes. Now is the time to be aggressive, I think, though. So I'm going to give him a little more time. This is the off season. See what he can do. He's still got a little bit of cap space to work with. He's probably got to add a scoring winger for McDavid and some bottom six depth, but I can't say I'm overly confident in the GM right now.
Connor, I got one more. Katie, do you have anything else?
Nope, I'm good. Go for it.
Yeah, I didn't want to cut you off there if you did. Hey, if we come to game one of playoffs in 2022 and Mike Smith is the starting goaltender, what's your thoughts?
Oh, what went wrong in the offseason where you didn't find somebody to bring in? That would definitely be it. And, you know, it was kind of a perfect storm for Mike Smith last year. Shortened season where he could play a smaller amount of games. He had that injury to start the season. So for him, his regular season didn't really get going until about 3 weeks into the season. So it was very condensed. It worked out okay for him, and to his credit, he played very well. I'm sure you guys know Kevin Woodley of Thin Goal Magazine. Mm-hmm. He kind of talked about the tummy time per 60. Mike Smith kind of cut that out where he was staying on his feet and not falling forward. So he did clean things up in his game. I think, though, you know, you got to find someone else that can carry the load with him. Mikko Koskinen's not the answer. I think that Stalock, if he was better than Mikko Koskinen last year, he would have taken his spot and got in there. So, yeah, if it is just Mike Smith going into the playoffs, similar to my last answer, I would have some questions for Ken Holland.
Connor, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Connor.
Connor Halley right there from TSN 1260 and co-host of the Other Connor podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Be sure to go check that one out. I saw you had Grant Fuhr on the last one. Just awesome guests there too. Good guy. I appreciate his honesty coming towards the Oilers, because there's a lot of people in the Oilers media world. I mean, you know them too. I get to work with it on a daily basis. I feel like there's a little bit of delusion up here. I feel like there's a little bit of, oh, well, Ken Holland's won this. He's won this. It's all fine. You didn't retain salary on Duncan Keith, and I would be fine with that if Chicago took a little bit more back than Caleb Jones, or you didn't have to give up a third rounder. And I get it, a third rounder is not rocking your world, but the fact that you couldn't hold tight and be like, nope, Duncan Keith wants to be here. This is his number one destination. So you keep him and you keep a pissed off Duncan Keith, or you trade him for less than you want. It's your call now. I don't know. That there's some questions.
I have a lot of questions, and Connor was great. He answered a lot of the questions that I had for him without me even asking them, but Chicago needed to get him off their books, and the Oilers, they had way more leverage in the situation. They were the ones that had the power in the deal, so I keep going back to just, I can't understand the lack of salary retention. I don't get it. And we talked about this, Cody, that like we had spoken about this and I stand by it. I don't mind Duncan Keith going to the Oilers. What I do mind is him going at this price tag, both in terms of the cap hit and the assets given up. Like if it's just Caleb Jones, I have a bit more time for that, but it's the salary retention. And then when you're giving up assets in that as well, like I can't understand how this was done with Edmonton having so much hypothetical power in this deal. And then they seem to just be fleeced coming out of it. Like, and I do think Duncan Keith will have a better season this year than last. But oftentimes trades like this, like it's easy to react in the moment. And then you look back, like, who knows, maybe they could somehow totally win this, but I just can't see that being the case. I can't see us in 3 years sitting here going like, wow, what a move that was by Ken Holland. Good thing they gave away that pick.
I can't argue with that. I love the addition of Duncan Keith. They need leadership. They need someone who's been there and done that. The cap hit sucks. My thinking, and this could be just totally me spreading rumors, what if Vancouver came into the mix late? You know, their decor.
Duncan Keith?
Yeah, I'm just meaning, like, what if a second team came in here where D-men don't want to be, I mean, if you're a veteran, you don't want to be in Vancouver right now because that team's future is way up in the air. You're not winning anything anytime soon there. So what if another team came into the mix? That's what I'm saying. Could it be Vancouver? I don't think Calgary really would have. That's they're a whole nother issue. I don't really think Seattle's in the conversation. What do they have to give up? Like, you know, they would have to like bring on a pick to just take on Keith's contract.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there was something else that we don't know about because it's so easy for us to scroll through Twitter, listen to a couple of insiders and make up our decision. But again, and unless we're on the phone calls, maybe there's something that is that we don't know about. I don't know.
There could be. Vancouver, I don't think, was ever part of it just because I don't think they can. And I'm happy they didn't because I don't think they should. Just with their situation with Hughes and with Patterson, like we've talked about that, they need defensemen. They don't need veteran defensemen. And they're not in a position right now, especially bending under so much fire. They can't be taking on contracts like this. Just Vancouver would riot. Again, like there was no way that they could even afford to be in those conversations, to my understanding. When I listen to the insiders, you're right. We don't know the conversations that have been had, but they also just are having way more conversations than I am with people behind the scenes. So I tend to trust them over Twitter for sure. But it sounds like it was just kind of Edmonton and then Seattle for a while. But then it sounds like Seattle wasn't part of it. And that's where I go back to just Edmonton had so much leverage there where, you know, he wants to be close to his kid. Like, it was also public. And then for it to go the way that it did with how much, like I already said it, it still continues to just blow my mind.
Yeah. And this could be an hour long debate that we could have, but at end of the day, I think that maybe we just wait and see a little bit. Maybe Duncan Keith has the season of his life and we all look like complete idiots. I hate just writing guys off just because of something. I mean, look at what happened to Mike Smith. You know, everyone wrote him off and he had one of the best seasons of his life. I'm not saying Duncan Keith is going to do that, but I can tell you for free, his leadership inside that damn room is going to be huge because right
Absolutely.
Now, no one like that. No one at all.
Yeah. So, like I said, I like Keith at Edmonton. I don't like Keith at Edmonton the way that it went down.
Can I make a hot take here? I feel like adding Duncan Keith is a borderline assistant coach where he has so much knowledge of the game. And sure, it might sound stupid. It might sound crazy, but Katie, hear me out. This guy has been to 3 Stanley Cups. I think he's got 2 Norrises. He might have a Conn Smythe. I don't think he's got a Conn Smythe. I think Seabrook's got a Conn Smythe. Does he? I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah, I think he has Conn Smythe, Norris, gold medal.
Yeah,
I mean, the jury has Conn Smythe.
Everything there is to win. So adding him and his knowledge with this Oilers decor that is super young, this is, I mean, you're adding a top 4 D-man and someone who's basically an assistant coach.
Yeah. But the thing is about veterans that have been to cup runs is typically you can get veterans that are cheap at that age. I fully agree with it. I think he'll be a huge asset both on the ice and in the locker room. I just don't love paying a second pair D-man for top pair price.
No, and that's fair. It's fair. I mean, we'll argue back and forth. Let's dive into a couple more NHL news tips here for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Remember, we are giving away a Pro Rock Hockey Stick and a hoodie at the end of the show. Stay tuned. Don't miss it. For the Boston Bruins, Kevin Miller. The snap there for us. Kevin Miller, he retires. I mean, this is a guy who was a Warrior. And it kind of leads to my other point. I unless you got something that you really – is burning your head on Kevin Miller retiring. But, like, what's your thoughts on players, you know, being labeled as Warriors, playing through injuries in the playoffs, the NHL really putting it on a pedestal, like, oh, McDonough, broken hand, Killorn, broken leg, Kucherov, broken ribs, Kevin Miller, the ultimate Warrior. Are you for the NHL promoting and their teams promoting them as these types of, you know, superhumans per se, or would you wish they humanized it a little bit more and said, maybe we don't, you know, just give them a round of applause for trying to play on a broken leg a week later?
It's hard to say because I don't know if it's just, I don't think it's just an NHL thing in how they're branding and marketing it. I think it's just a part of the hockey culture. At every level that it's just, oh, that's part of the game. And it kind of, it yeah. ties into arguments where you talk about when you compare it to soccer and basketball and just the different kind of levels of, I don't know, it's hard to use like Warrior with like, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it necessarily, but I just think it, like, it's not something that I think can just be, the NHL puts out a statement being like, we're no longer glamorizing this. Like, I think it's just as hockey culture continues to grow and evolve and move, like, maybe that'll change. I don't have a lot of strong opinions on it, frankly, because, like, I don't understand what it feels like to block a shot and then to just keep playing. Like, I don't know what it looks like.
Video content this summer.
Totally.
No, but like
the Pro Rock Hockey. But like, I don't know what happens when they go and they see the trainers and like what shots they get. Like, I don't have a huge understanding of what that side of the game looks like. So I feel like I can't really have strong opinions on it as someone that hasn't played.
I get it. I feel like there's a lot of people with stronger opinions based on the fact of last year around playoffs. I don't know if you remember it. The NHL put out a video with shot blocks, and yes, there was some blood. Mm. You know, I think broken nose, whatever. Like there, it was a intense video. I think that's a fair.
I
word.
Do remember that. Yeah,
Chell just got shit on for it, and I don't know. I think you kind of, from my perspective, it's they're adults; they can make the decision. Yes, hockey culture plays fully into that, and I mean, I think you just kind of have to. I don't have the right to tell an NHL player what to do. That's where I come down to on it. Maybe it's the wrong thing. Maybe it's the soft thing to say, hey, I don't think I should have a say here. But again, I think that there's some aspect of it of maybe we shouldn't be putting these big hits where it's someone getting a run from behind their head, smashing the boards after all that's come out with concussion research. Maybe we shouldn't put Milan Lucic running over Ryan Miller on loop because players have, you know, they've committed suicide because of head injuries and because of crazy things. That's a deep comment, I know, but I think that there is another level to explore. I'm not so much against the shot blocks, but we totally got off topic here.
No, I fully agree with what I'm happy you brought up that video because I forgot about that video because that basically was an instance of them kind of marketing the violence of the game. And yeah, I did forget about that one. And when I watched that, I just remember like, oh, I'm a bit uncomfortable with this, especially with how the game has evolved where the speed and the skill, I think, kind of should be the focus because it's the game has just gotten so fast and so good. Like these guys are just electric. But yeah, I forgot about, I'm happy you brought up that video because my answer does kind of change with that. That, yeah, I don't, like, if it's a part of culture, we can't as a whole change that right away. But yeah, when the NHL is choosing what they're promoting the game as, that I don't love as much.
See, and that's a thing where I fully respect the players that are willing to jump in front of a shot block to, you know, earn a Stanley Cup ring, lift the cup. But the NHL has that choice of, is this what we put the spotlight on? Or do we put the spotlight on Marc-Andre Fleury glove save?
Yeah.
That's up to them, and that's a whole different call. Also, sorry, James, Jeff, we're going to commercial here late. I got some more NHL news for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, so I want your thoughts. The Wild, they buy out Suter and Parise. I want to know, obviously everyone's shocked, and I think this is a Bill Guerin issue. He wants to run this team. He wants to build it from scratch, and I don't know if he's capable of doing that.
Don't we have to go to break?
No. I said we're going to break late. No.
Oh, sorry.
I've vetoed the commercial break, and we'll do it in like 5 minutes. I don't know.
Sorry. I thought we were popping up to break. Yeah, it's what a bombshell that was. Hey, what a day for NHL news.
It shook the hockey world, but I'm interested to see where they land now, because for Suter, if he wants to go win, take a cheap. I mean, these guys are getting paid big until 2029. Take a cheap hit, go to Tampa Bay, get yourself a ring.
It was so interesting because I feel like what this will do to the Wild is just such a microcosm of what the contract was, where it's not going to age well. You're just kind of kicking your problems down the road. Like, think about just the days of when, what was it, 13 years they were both signed for? I think it was 13. Something ridiculous. And like, were you shocked to see them both at the same time? Like, Parise, I wasn't, no? Because Parise, I wasn't as shocked. But Suter, I was a lot more shocked, and I read that it was reported that Suter was totally blindsided, which that's a bit disappointing to me.
I read that report from Michael Russo, I believe, but those two have been known. I mean, I could be fully spreading rumors, but like, they're like best friends. Like, they're doing everything together. They are 1-2 AB, you know. And so if one goes, if Parise gets pawned out, I feel like Suter's pissed. You know, if Suter goes, I feel like Parise's pissed. So I think they had to, it was Guerin saying, I want to build the culture, the core of this team, and it's not with these guys, even if it costs us, even if it's going to hold us back for 3 years. I don't know. Now I think you just hurt yourself to sign Kaprizov, where you're going, hey, we're 3 years away from being good. So go play in Cesca Moscow for Sergei Fedorov. Shout out him. He's their new head coach. But like, go play there. Go play Olympics. Go do whatever you want for Russia. Go and make some bank, and then after, maybe we'll talk about a long-term deal.
Is that how you view this? Is they're showing that they're far enough out? Because I viewed it as the opposite of they're showing like all in now. Like, really? I think, yeah, big time.
Maybe I'm delusional, but there's no chance. That's as good as Cam Talbot will ever play. And so if that's your goaltender, that's not good enough. Kaprizov, he's young, but if you don't get him signed, if you don't keep him happy, it's whatever. And Kevin Fiala, he's a good player. I think on a Stanley Cup winning team, though, or a Stanley Cup competitive team, he's a second liner.
Right, but it's not just about this team as is right now. I think they're clearing a bunch of space to bring in a big name. I think they're going all in and pushing all of their chips into the center with this.
Yeah, but why would Jack Eichel want to be there? Why? I don't know. It blows my mind that everyone thinks that Minnesota's a big player in this, where, you know, Joel Eriksson Ek, they signed him to be your second line center. A second line center of Joel Eriksson Ek doesn't scare anyone in the league. So I don't know. I get what
I disagree with that. I like Joel Eriksson Ek. I'm pretty high on him. I don't know. I don't think the Wild are done. I think this is the first of many conversations about the Minnesota Wild.
They're done. They're just a mediocre sports town in general. Okay, Dave Landeskog, though, he's going to free agency. I hope he ends up in LA. I mean, I get him out of Colorado. We can shake the abs up a little bit there. Someone chuck 10 sheets at this guy. I don't know. I just want to see chaos. I root for chaos. And when Gabe Landeskog goes to the market, I cheer for it all.
Are we certain that he is going to the market?
I'm 99% sure. I read that on Twitter, and Twitter's always right. So
the internet is never lying, because I'm still hearing a few people say, because I've heard that the talks aren't close, but I still hear a few people being like, oh no, he isn't going anywhere. I don't know.
I will start it right now. He's going to free agency, and I think he ends up in Seattle or LA.
Seattle
out there, but there, it just came to my mind.
Yeah, Seattle I could kind of see. Yeah, I still just have such a hard time picturing him anywhere but Colorado. LA's interest. LA has my sweet Victor Arvidsson now.
I know. Let's speak to Preds here before we go to commercial break now. Their backup goalie retired.
Get out of here.
Okay, maybe one of the best. I'll give him second best Finnish goaltender of all time, Pekka Rinne. If we're talking, he's the number one, by far the best player in Nashville history. I think you've got to retire his jersey number. I think what he's done for that city, for that team, you can't measure it. He was incredible. And everyone that talks about him, Ingram had the tweet there the other day. I don't have it off the top of my head. You know, this guy was just a class act. He loved the game. He loved going to the rink. He was the perfect mentor for UC Saros, for anyone coming through that team. Doesn't matter if you're a goaltender, forward, defenseman. Your thoughts, though.
You know this. I could do a full hour on just speaking about Pekka Rinne because he was there, obviously, when I spent my time in Nashville. And the nature of my job was we spent so much time with the guys because I was in broadcast. So we were doing like shooting, editing. So if they would go to the children's hospital, we would go with them. If we were at practice, like we spent so much time with the guys because we were always filming them. And with that comes a lot of time of just kind of sitting around shooting the shit. And Pekka is just someone that he goes out of his way to make everyone feel welcome. And like every single thing that's been said about him somehow just doesn't seem like enough. Like he's the most humble person. He's just so kind. He makes everyone feel welcome. And we would go to all these community events and seeing how people would light up, especially kids, like going to the children's hospital with Pekka was one of my favorite days because we did it quite a few times, but those days were always my favorite just because he has this glow about him and this huge smile where he just brings so much joy to people and he feels it. He gets so much from it too. And there were times that we had heard that he was sneaking off to the children's hospital without us just because he genuinely wanted to connect with those kids, didn't want it to be a big PR move. Like he's that type of person that he just brought a community together of people. And like a lot of people don't know this, when UC Saros first arrived, even when I was living there and he had been with the team for a couple of years, he was living in Pekka's basement. Like he's that guy where he's like, oh, come on, young Finnish goaltender, like come stay with me. And he's just like, here's an example. When we were in the locker room, like we would do pre and post game with them and I would be holding the camera. I'm like 4'1". I'm a tiny human being and he's 6'7", I think, not on skates. So like little scared me going to the room like, hey, Pekka, do you mind sitting down? Because I'm just so small. And, like I can't, if I have the camera going up at him, like you're just looking up his nose and he's laughing. He's like, oh, of course. And he's just it seems like really small things, but people like that, they bring so much joy to what can be like a lot of 16-hour days. And like working with an NHL team is really frantic. And that was the year they won the President's Trophy. Like they were kind of the darlings of the league. It was right off their cup run. Like Pekka is just a shining star that the league is, it's not the same place without him, but he'll forever be a part of that family.
That's one guy who you wish could have won a Stanley Cup.
Big time.
Put him up there with the Henrik Lundqvist and the Jerome McGinnis of guys who never won a Stanley Cup, but you probably, you know, wish they would have. But again, no, that was awesome. Those are great stories. Appreciate you sharing those here. I got two other notes before we head off to a quick commercial break. Canadians give Dominic Ducharme a 3-year deal, and the Sens add Pierre Maguire to hockey ops. He's off TV. We got to go to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk some Seattle Kraken after this. Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you on World Hockey Report. Got a little breaking news here out of Boston. They've re-signed defenseman Brandon Carlo to a 6-year deal, $4.1 million AAV. They're good for them to get their defense locked up. Huge piece that Boston could not afford to miss. Already, we got a bunch to get to close this one out here. We got a giveaway for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. And before I get to that, though, we got to give a shout out to our friends at Billy's Smelling Salts. Go to shopbillys.co, punch in the promo code WHR, extra 10% off. Of course, use responsibly, the absolute best. So this morning, we did the giveaways for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. We chucked all the names into a random generator online, and I got the winners. So the hoodie, second place, at Roy Munson 44, will shoot you a message, get you hooked up with that hoodie. And the Pro Rock stick goes to at CA Donovan 32 on Twitter. We'll shoot you a message. Congrats. They're legit. I mean, if you're a hockey guy, They're great sticks. They're a Canadian company. You know what you're getting there. Time to move on. Seattle Kraken talk. We got 5 minutes here. That's plenty of time, right? We can get to
more than enough.
Not a problem. Okay. And instead, I told you to prepare 5 big-ish names. I just want to know, give me 2. 2. This isn't from Canadian teams or anything specific. I want 2 big names you think will be on Seattle next year.
I don't know if I think they will. I think there's a path that they could be. I think Ryan Johansson. Nate Schmidt.
You think Nate Schmidt goes there?
Yeah.
That's a bold one. Do you think he gets picked in the expansion draft or traded?
Traded.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way they leave him unprotected. That's way too valuable. Okay, so that's bold. I've got a bazillion people on my list. I'm going to start, though, number 1, Dougie Hamilton. I don't think anyone else is. I mean, everyone says they're super keen on Dougie Hamilton, but he's just bounced around so many teams. I feel Seattle makes sense. And then everyone's saying Chris Driedger is going to be their goalie, and I'm not doubting that one. But I feel like Marc-Andre Fleury has to be left unprotected in the expansion draft, or they're going to have to pay someone not to keep him. Because as much as you might think that Vegas is going to risk, leaving Leonard unprotected, I don't think so. That's DeBoer's guy there. Marc-Andre Fleury, yeah. Dougie Hamilton. I think we'll see them in Seattle. Now let's go through the Canadian teams here. You already brought up Vancouver, but if you think during the expansion draft, is there one guy who sticks out who you think they'll lose?
My gut tells me they're going to lose Cole Lind. Best case for them, I think, would be Braden Holtby. And I'm hearing a lot of those talks kind of ramp up again, which I'm surprised about. I thought those had been...
That's Vancouver media trying to get rid of Braden Holtby.
No, I've heard it outside of Vancouver. That's what surprised me. But Braden Holtby would be best case for them. But I think it's going to be a Cole Lind, depending if he's protected or not.
Okay, I think Tyler Mott. I think they protect Cole Lind. I think he's got way too many. I think Cole Lind's got too much potential, so I think Tyler Mott, they leave him, and he's gone.
I think
gone.
They protect Mott. Yeah, we'll bottom six guy, I know. They rely on him a lot, especially in the penalty kill.
I know, but are they... Is he going to be a guy that they rely upon in the future? I don't know.
I bet they protect Mott. We'll revisit this.
Okay, GM Katie. Are we on the same page with Calgary that Mark Giordano gets left unprotected and Treliving doesn't pay anything so that they don't pick him?
Maybe Kylington. It depends if they want to go like old and good and proven or younger and cheaper and less proven. My gut tells me it'll be Giordano, but I think there's a path for Kylington.
That's fair. Is it Kylington or Shillington? I don't know. He's a Swedish guy, isn't he?
Oh, God. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I think it's Shillington. I don't know. I've been wrong.
Idiot.
Edmonton's now up here. I don't know. Do they protect 3D now? I thought they might go with 4. I think Kyler Yamamoto's got to go.
They'll protect him.
He's a Washington kid. I don't think they protect him, and I think that's a perfect addition for Seattle.
I think he will absolutely be protected.
Over Puljujarvi?
It depends which format they go.
Well, yeah, that's why I say if they pick 4 deep, then they have to expose either Puljujarvi or Yamamoto pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, they got so many good deep prospects.
Is there, could Seattle pick Klefbom and then put him right on LTIR?
I don't know how that stuff works.
I don't either. I wasn't sure if you did.
And anything technical. Okay, let's go with Winnipeg. I think that this is a tough one because of such a great playoffs by Logan Stanley, but I also could see them being unprotected, being like, what's his next contract going to look like? I don't know.
I could see Logan Stanley, and I could also see Mason Appleton.
Yeah, that's the other one that I think I've heard stuck around a little bit. So I think it'll be either one of those two. Toronto, I mean, pass. They got no one good in Toronto anyways, but...
Why would they even want to take someone from them?
I think Alex Kerfoot's a good depth guy who still has potential to work his way up into a lineup. And I think that's a pretty solid addition if you're Seattle.
Yeah, Kerfoot makes sense. I don't know if they're going to protect Justin Hall or not. I think before the playoffs, I might have said he would be left unprotected, but he's a bargain at, I think, $2 million. But I don't know. I would say Justin Hall if he's left unprotected, but I think he might be protected. What about Travis Dermott?
an interesting one. The Hull one's also something I've heard, but the argument is that Toronto's so big into analytics and Justin Hall has phenomenal analytics from everything I hear. I don't know enough about that. So I feel that if that's the system they're going with, they're going to protect who they think is going to be the money ball. Ottawa, Chris Tierney. I haven't seen too many other picks or, you know, options out there, but I think
maybe Dadonov. I've heard between Tierney and Dadonov.
I don't think Dadonov have a great season last year. I don't think he did that much last year.
No, but he hasn't really lived up to his contract, but the year before he had a really good season. I think people could maybe be looking at that.
Was that in Florida?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Think, so he's playing with like Barkov, Huberdeau, like he's players around him. And in Montreal, after the playoffs, he had Paul Byron's gotta be, you know, on everyone's radar. I mean, this is a guy with speed. He can play everywhere in the lineup. And you know what? He can kill penalties with the best of them.
I've heard a lot of Ben Chiarot. I don't necessarily agree with it, but
Ben Chiarot's had a lot more miles on him.
Yeah. I was hearing Shea Weber, but I think, especially after the cup run, they're definitely going to want to protect their captain. Yes? No?
Yeah, I think you got to protect Shea Weber in this one. He doesn't have a no move clause. That seems weird. I figured he would have had a no move clause or something that they could have worked around there. Okay. Oh, wow. We got segments. We're late. Sorry. We're going 5 minutes. I don't care. I mean, sorry, Jeff, James, you guys can fire us later. But okay, we got to bench someone for Quack Stats. Go check them out on Instagram at @Quack_stats. Go check out the web app today. I am going to bench the NBA Finals because they suck, and that's the only sports on TV right now, I think.
I fundamentally disagree with you. I'm benching Ken Holland for the lack of salary retention.
Yeah, that was too obvious. At AG, bet of the night, use promo code 120ZSports. They're going to match 50% of your first deposit. I'm going to put a bet on Edmonton to win the Stanley Cup next year. Just because you chirp Ken Holland, he is going to listen to this and he's going to be like, I'm going to make crazy moves. I'm going to not retain everyone's full salary. And I mean, they're at like 20-1. So come on, McDavid gets hot. They've got a chance.
Okay, I'm betting Tampa three-peat.
Wow. It's fair. They're going to have all their core back. Everyone's like, they're going to lose Coleman. They're going to lose this. And it's like, yeah, but they're going to add like all these other pieces who want to be there because they know that they got a good chance to win a ring.
Also whispers of Stammer lately, which is kind of interesting.
I saw that. Whole nother thing. Does he want to come back to Canada?
We don't have time for this, Cody. We got to go.
We don't have time for this. Don't forget, we've teamed up with the folks of the Hockey Podcast Network to present the World Hockey Report pod. So download, rate, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast from. Okay, I got to put you on the spot here. What reality TV? I need your rank them right now. We've got Love Island, okay. Temptation Island, and The Bachelorette. Right now, rank the top three. What's what people should watch?
I haven't seen Temptation Island, so I want to replace it with Too Hot to Handle.
That's what it's meaning. Too Hot to Handle. It's on Netflix.
Okay. Quick power rankings. Bachelorette, Too Hot to Handle, Love Island. But I've only seen a couple episodes of Love Island so far. That's on my agenda today. I've got a big day.
Bachelorette is way too worn out now.
Get out of here.
That's old news. That's old news for hockey or reality TV wise.
Hit us up in the comments.
We're at World Hockey RPT. Maybe we'll start a poll after. We'll see what it is. Huge shout out though to our guests today, Connor Halley, Ben Pope. Love the insight. If you missed any of it, go download the podcast today, the Hockey Podcast Network. They're going to get it up later. For myself, Cody Jansen, Katie Caldwell, Jeff Beck, Adam Ermentrout, and everyone else who makes this show possible. Until next week, see you later.